Pessimism is part of journalism's stock in trade. Good news is often no news. But there's also probably a widespread expectation among huge numbers of people that things will usually get worse before they get better. The writer Matt Ridley swims against that tide. After a series of high-selling books about genetics, he's now written one called The Rational Optimist. Matt Ridley has a relatively upbeat answer to a wide range of the world's current social ills, from poverty and hunger to overpopulation. In the course of a long interview, all of which you can hear later on our website, I asked him what he thought about climate change.
It is happening. We are on a rising temperature trend at the moment. It isn't yet to unprecedented levels or happening at unprecedented rates. It seems to be no different in scale or speed from other warmings that we've seen in the 1930s, in the turn of the last century, and indeed, of course, in the ice cores from much longer ago. Mankind is undoubtedly having an effect on climate. We're changing the reflectivity of the land by cutting down forests and things like that. And, of course, carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas and is trapping warming. And that should produce about a degree of warming over the century, which would be relatively mild and, on the whole, slightly beneficial. It would slightly increase crop yields across the world. The question that people disagree about is whether that 1 degree of carbon dioxide-induced warming would produce 2 more degrees of water vapor-induced warming, which is essentially what the IPCC argues. I'm increasingly convinced that the empirical and theoretical evidence doesn't support that view, and that, on the whole, clouds will more likely slow or mitigate the carbon dioxide warming rather than exaggerate it.
Here in Australia, particularly in southeastern Australia, we've had a very, very long drought recently, which is only partially cleared, and scientists are saying that the climate has changed quite radically. Nobody's can say it absolutely conclusively, but what do you think?
Well, I don't know the situation in southeast Australia well enough to presume to comment on it. I mean, I'm aware of the droughts you're speaking of. They have happened before. They will happen again. It is, if the world is warming a little bit, which is what I said it is doing, then you would expect climate zones to shift slightly south in Australia. And I believe that northern Australia is getting slightly wetter, just as southern Australia is getting slightly drier at the moment. But these are, you know, it's very hard to pull a global climate signature out of a local weather pattern, as it were, of a few decades long, which is why, as you say, that, you know, nobody's quite sure exactly what's happening. But, you know, there is absolutely no doubt, if you look at the models, that the number of people in the world at increased water stress as a result of the predicted climate change — I'm not talking about the climate change that I think is going to happen, it's the climate change that the IPCC says is going to happen — the number of people at increased water stress in the next 85 years is going to be less than the number of people at decreased water stress. You know, that comes from peer-reviewed articles written by IPCC scientists. And so I think
it's going to be small comfort for the people whose dams are drying up in large cities, though, isn't it?
It's going to be good comfort for people who are finding increased water supplies. You know, climate always has changed, always will change. The evidence suggests that we are actually going to see higher crop yields, slightly higher rainfall, no major change in storms, no significant change in a very slow change in sea level, no huge damage to habitats. Now, you know, I may be wrong. There is an outside chance of a tipping point where a catastrophe happens. My point is that if you look at the evidence carefully, the probability of that is low. The probability that actually things will be better for most people in this century is high.
Even though, yeah, to move on a little further, even though the population is 6 billion and rising.
Yes, we are about 6.7 billion at the moment. The rate of increase of population has halved in my lifetime. It's come down from about over 2% in the 1960s to just over 1% now. That means we're adding fewer and fewer people to the planet every day. If that continues, and the evidence is that fall has accelerated rather than decreased, then by mid-century, the UN estimates, we will have 9.2, maybe 9.3 billion people when the population peaks in about 2060. Now, one of the interesting features of that is it means that in the 21st century, the population of the world will have increased by 1.5 times. It quadrupled in the 20th century, and it doubled in the 19th century. So the population, as it were, we have to cope with, the population increase we have to cope with, is less in this century than in past centuries.
But we already are worrying about resources, aren't we, just to keep the 6.7 billion going?
Just on food quickly, because that's the one most people worry about with respect to population. We are actually feeding, we're producing nearly three times as much cereals from the same acreage as we did 50 years ago. If we increase yields at that rate again for another 50 years, and all the evidence suggests we can, because there are huge areas of the world that are not getting fertilizers and pesticides and new varieties and things like that. If we do that, then we can feed 9 billion people from a much smaller acreage, a significantly smaller acreage, than we are currently using to feed 6.7 billion. That means that this will be a century of ecological restoration, a century in which we can actually return land to wilderness on a grand scale. I think that's a wonderfully ambitious goal to aim for, and it's something that, you know, you're beginning to see it happening already with forests being replanted in a number of parts of the world.
Matt Ridley, author of The Rational Optimist,